right, we're going to be in chapter 12 of Book of Judges for a few moments today. If you remember, Jephthah was the one chosen by the Gileadites to come and lead them, and they ended up going to war, and the battle here was over. It tells a little bit about it, and after they got done with the battle, we found the Ephraimites came. Talked a little bit about that last week. You know, we find that they're the ones that always, they showed up after the battle. They was aggravated because they wasn't called, and I think we kind of ended the Sunday school lesson concerning the fact, as he said, I called you, but you didn't come. And we went, you know, spent a little time on the fact that God calls people. He calls them. And, you know, my wife and I was talking about that after, because sometimes you want to think about the young people being called. But God don't always call young people. I wasn't called to preach till I was 30. My preacher, Brother Evans, wasn't called to preach till he was in his 40s. So God don't only just call young people, young teenagers. The thing about it is, God moves upon someone's heart. He knows the need. He knows the timing is perfect. So just don't ever shut that out in your life, okay? Just don't shut it out. Be sensitive to the Lord. What does he want for you? And that's all we want. Like I said about Mr. and Mrs. Moore, we hate to see him move. We really do. But down deep, we do want the will of God. And that's more important than any of our wants or desires. So I'm just saying to you, I just wanted to kind of bring that back out, and I want you to remember that. God don't always call some teenager or some 20-year-old. He has a purpose and a reason for things that he does. And so just be reminded of that. So then we find that after they went to battle with the Ephraimites. And as I mentioned to you, Jephthah was out of the tribe of Manasseh, which are brethren to the Ephraimites. But here we find the brethren battle. And many of the Ephraimites, of course, is going to get killed. And so it tells a little story here, and I'm going to read it just right at the end of at the ending of the battle, in verse number 5. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, "Let me go over," that the men of Gilead said unto him, "Art thou an Ephraimite?" And if he said, "Nay," then said they unto him, "Say now, Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth," for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passage of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. Now, I think he's telling us with the 42,000, that's how many Ephraimites was killed in the battle, along with this test that they gave him. He was talking about they could not frame the word right. Now, that's why if you've got a foreign doctor, you have trouble understanding him sometimes, because he grew up framing words in his language. And he can't help it. He has trouble doing that. And so they tested out here, and whenever they said Sibboleth, then they knew he was not of the tribe of Manasseh. He was an Ephraimite, and so they slew them. Now, they tell me, I have read, I'm just saying this, some in here may know more about that. If Chuck, my son-in-law Chuck, was here, he would know. He's a Civil War buff. But they tell me they used to use that same thing in the Civil War. Is anybody saying that is true? I see some shaking head with the rebels and the Southerners and the Northern. They kind of used that same thing. But what I want to do is I want to just take a few minutes and talk to you about the fact that we Christians are also known by our speech. And it's very, very important we understand that, that we should be known by our speech. Now, I'm going to, if you want to turn over, that'd be fine, but I want you to hold your place there. But into the book of Mark, the 14th chapter, I want to just kind of seal this truth before we get started here. But in Mark, the 14th chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse 66. Mark 14, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when he saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again, and a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Do you notice that they understood that he was a Galilean because of the speech he spoke? And he was betrayed by his speech. And it's just a point that I think it would be important for us. We also should be identified by our speech. And I'm not talking about whether it's got a southern twang to it or what. I'm talking about the kind of speech that we as Christians speak. It's very, very important that we understand that we talk right. And I want to take just a few moments this morning and just think about that, and through the scriptures kind of look at what importance God puts upon our speech, how we speak and how much we speak, and how we say things. Sometimes it's not what we say, it's how we say it. That is very, very important. It was interesting. Yesterday we was going on visitation and we was meeting, and one of the ladies was telling a little story, and I won't tell you who it was, but it was very, very interesting. She said, as I grew up, I was never allowed to say the word, and I'll say it, gosh. I was never allowed to say that. That was like a cuss word in our house. And she said, for some reason, anyway, I got married, and she said, I picked up the habit. She said, I wouldn't say it much, but once in a while it would come out of my mouth. So we got to talking about it one day, and we said, so our son said it. So we decided maybe we better get that straightened out and quit this. And so she said, we sat down with our son and talked to him and said to him, you know, Mommy said that sometime, but I'm not going to say it again. And so I want you to know it's not a good thing to say. It's not a right thing. And so she said later on sometime, anyway, in a heat of a moment, she said it, and her son got all over her and called her to task. And he's just a little fellow. And I'm telling you that because we have to be careful about the slang words. Okay, it's easy to get into habits, isn't it? But as a Christian, we've got to be careful with the language we use. I'm just saying to you, for as I'm concerned, a Christian should never use any kind of curse word. Never. Never, never, never. It's just not right. Amen? It doesn't make you a non-Christian. It just says it's just not right. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, people can do that. But it's not a right thing because we are God's children. We need to speak correctly, okay? Just to kind of give you an example of that, Joe Asbury and I, 2 or 3 weeks ago, was on visitation, and he grew up in Hymera. Joe Asbury knows everybody in Hymera and the surrounding areas. And so we was talking, and I said, Brother Joe, I said, my wife and I went to visit these people. We were asked to do that, and it's been a few months ago, and we went into this house, and I was explaining to him who he was, and he said, oh, yeah, I know him. I said, yeah, I know him well. And so I was telling him about our conversation, And I said, he let me take him through the scriptures and present the gospel of Christ and, you know, everything. He let me, you know, do all of that. And I said, he was very kind to us. I'd taken my wife because his wife was sick, and I thought we might have a chance to see her also, but she was laying down, and we couldn't get to visit with her. But anyway, and I said, here's what he said to me because I asked him, are you ready for heaven? You 100% sure? And he said, oh, sure. And I said, well, tell me why you say that. And here's exactly what he said. Because I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, that's what he said, okay? And I have no reason. I mean, I had no reason, and I didn't know where else to go. He gave me the right answer, and we talked about it, and he gave me a little bit of indication when that was. And Joe Asbury looked at me shocked. He said, are you kidding? I said, no. And he said, I saw him yesterday in the barbershop. And he said, every time I see him, he curses up a storm. Now, I'm not telling you who this is. I'm trying to make it as an illustration. He said he has one of the most filthy mouths of anyone I know. He said he's had them for years. He's done that for years. He said, and I said, well, probably. He didn't do that with me because my wife was sitting there. And I appreciated that. I was thankful because she was sitting in the home too. And he never said an unkind word. Not in. And he said, I saw him yesterday. He said, we was in the barbershop together and he was at his old self. And so I say to myself, what do you do? Now, how in the world can he sit there and tell me he's a child of God, he's received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and speak like that? And I never knew he spoke like that. I would have never known it if Joe wasn't just, he just said, I'm so surprised, I don't understand it. Well, the two ought to go together. If we are God's children, then the two ought to go, we ought to speak correctly. Amen. I can understand a person gets saved and has had the habit of you know, cursing and things like that. I can understand that it may take some time to get that under control and get it corrected. I understand those things, but this man supposedly has just done this for years. So I look at it, and I'm not trying to judge his salvation. I'm just trying to give you an example. The two ought to go together. If you and I are God's children, what comes out of our mouth should be correct. Don't you agree? Should be, you know, the right kind of talk. As an example to those whom we, you know, we meet and we speak to. You see, we got to be careful how we speak. I'm just going to, I'll give you the address to it, and then I'm just going to kind of read you some verses, and then we're going to turn to a portion of Scripture. But in the book of Psalms, the 37th Psalm, 30th verse, it says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. When it talks about judgment, it means it talks about good and proper things, right things. And he says, the tongue of the righteous speaketh with wisdom. I think that's very important, because it's not just that we speak and maybe don't use curse words or anything like that, but as we speak with wisdom. It's important that we do that, that our conversations has behind it the wisdom of God. There's a purpose for our conversation. There's a purpose for us saying things. It brings forth wisdom, you see. And that's not just for a preacher or a deacon, or that's for all of us. As a people, we should the righteous should speak forth wisdom. Now also in Proverbs 10:11 said, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And he says, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You see, that's why Joe Asbury never even gave thought that this man was a Christian. Because his mouth brought forth violence. Why would we think he would be? Why would we think that? You understand what I'm saying? So our mouths must bring forth wisdom and should be a well of life. Not death, but life. Now, I want to go over to the book of James. I know you're familiar with this, but we're not going to spend a lot of time there. But I want you to go over there, please, the book of James, and the third chapter. And I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read a few verses that will help us. And let me say to you, as we do a little study on this, this is not in condemnation. This is to help you. It's to help me to be sure that when we speak correctly. You understand? That we don't give any indication that we're not God's children. So God would want you to and me to speak with wisdom, that our wisdom would be a well of life. Now, over in James, the third chapter of James, and I'm just going to start at verse number 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Let me explain to you there. You probably don't need explanation. But when he says that no man can tame the tongue, he is absolutely correct. Man cannot do it, but God can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. To say, oh, well, I've got a tongue. It just slips up. I know one can tame it. That is not right way to look at this. Because you yourself and I cannot contain it, but I want to tell you, our God can. Our God can stop us from speaking wrong if we'll take a little bit of thought to what we're saying. And I've always been a believer in that. You need to stop and think before you speak. Don't get anybody to rush you into an answer. I've taught my wife this years ago. We talked about it. You do not have to answer everybody. Just because they ask a question, you don't have to answer. But if you do answer, stop and think before you answer. It's a good principle. You understand? So he said it's unruly, but God can tame it. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. If you'll notice there, he's saying, are we going to praise God and then curse man out of the same mouth? You see, he's given us an illustration there that shows that should never be. And he's going to get deeper here and give some more to us. But he said, you know, if you're going to praise God, then you're going to curse man whom God made. He said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be. You see, this is Scripture. Amen? And isn't it Scripture? And then God saying that? It shouldn't be out of the same mouth. Cursing and blessing. And he said, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of vines, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. See, I'm not going to take a lot of time there. That's a wonderful study. Chapter 3 of James is a wonderful study. But I don't have much time. I'm trying just to show you that words do matter, and how we speak as a Christian does matter all the time. Okay? You know, there's even the principle, and again, wish I had more time. I got about 5 minutes, but wish I had more time. But there's even the principle, though, there's times when we should not speak. Okay? You do not have to speak. Jesus practiced that. But there's also a time when we should speak and don't. Because there's times when we ought to speak up, do so in a proper right way, and with wisdom, you see. But just being silent is not always the answer. Okay? You understand that? But and I think that's where wisdom comes in. It's wisdom, you see, that we use to know when to speak and when not to speak, you see. But that if we do speak, use wisdom in our speech. Amen? All right. Now, I might share with you because speech, again, it can be designed to hurt people. It can be designed to do that. Let me Let me give you an illustration. I read this years ago. It's kind of a comical thing, but George Bernard Shaw was a British playwright in London. And him and Winston Churchill lived at the same time, and they had an intense dislike for each other. So Bernard Shaw, he was getting ready to open one of his plays in London, first night opening of one of his plays. And so he sent a note with two tickets to Winston Churchill. And he wrote a little note saying, he said, I wanted you to have these two tickets and hopefully you can come to the opening night of our play. And he said, I sent one also for a friend, if you have one. So Winston Churchill wrote him a little note back and said to him and thanked him graciously for the tickets. And said, it was very kind of you give me a ticket for opening night. He said, I'm going to come the second night if there is one. See, words, you know, can be used in ways that can just kind of cut. And if you don't be careful, we have a tendency to kind of want to cut sometimes, you know. Did you ever, you know, hear a person say this? Well, you know so-and-so. Well, you know how they are. Well, you just said something about them. You said, no, I didn't say anything bad. Yeah, you did. Because you're insinuating how they are so you would understand why they did this. You got to be so careful. You got to be so careful what we say and how we say it. I mean, don't you agree with that? Amen. But anyway, I think the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Somebody just rung the phone down on Friday or sometime and connected with the police down in Florida and brought accusation against that home. And those men spent a night in jail because of some accusation from somebody. Power, death, and life are in the power of the tongue. You see, Brother Williams gets this and has been going through this now for a lengthy time up at his girls' home. Just the power of the tongue. You got to be so careful. We got to be so careful what we say. You know, a false witness can come and say, Bob Ross, I seen him kill this person. And I might be arrested because of it. You see, it's not anymore you're innocent till proven guilty. Now, it used to be that way, but it's not that way anymore. See, you got to prove yourself innocent. And that's because of tongues that wag. Now, I know that's a big, big deal, but listen to me. We, as God's children, I'm trying to do this just to be helpful, encouraging. We all need to be very, very, very careful how we speak and what we say about another individual. Or about it, you know, most of the time when someone tells us something, we take it and pass it on, we don't know the other side. Did you ever think about that? You really don't know what really happened. You wasn't there. All you have is heard from one side what happened, and you don't know if it's the truth. Isn't that true? See, so it's very, we've got to be very, very, very careful. And I know it's time for me to quit, but I want you to listen to me, because next Sunday, see, I'm going to get you back next Sunday. There's a startling statement in the Word of God that ought to just absolutely bring fear to all of us. Now, I ain't going to tell you yet what it is. You come back next Sunday and I'll tell you what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to probably spend all next week on the tongue, but I wanted to finish it up next week. Just simply for our benefit, folks. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's for our benefit. It's good, you see, because God cares about what we say. And when we say, and how we say it. Father, thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for the Bible, the precious Bible, the Word of God. Help us to mind it, Lord. And once again, we're reminded of those dear folk in Florida. Bless them real good. In Jesus' name.